Well, we're here today. Amen. If you're not here today, say, I'm not here. Next Sunday is going to be a big day for many Americans. The major focus is going to be on one big thing. Unfortunately, I don't think it is the big thing that we should all really be focused on, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. On the average weekend, 22% of the U.S. citizens attend worship services of some kind. That includes all churches of all faiths, all denominations, all belief systems. 22%. However, the anticipated viewing audience for Super Bowl 57 is expected to be nearly 30% of the United States population. Yep. And probably be some of you. Yeah? 100 million people are expected to watch Super Bowl next weekend. That's if Jesus doesn't come back first. The more important thing. The devotion level of people to sports is so great that they'll endure bad weather, traffic jams, expensive tickets, expensive refreshments, abusive language, uncomfortable seats. The list goes on. Just to watch their favorite team. So today, the message is titled, Devoted to Serving Christ. I ask the question, are we as devoted to serving Christ as people are to watching their favorite sports team? If we only had benches here, would you be sitting there? If we did not have the heat on, would you be sitting here? If we were sitting outside, would you be sitting here? Are we as devoted to Christ as people are to their favorite sports teams, their hobbies, their activities? Is our love for Jesus a total commitment, a part-time devotion, or is it entertainment? I'm sorry, I don't have many good jokes, as all of you know. Anyway, I'll share a couple little funny stories with you. A wealthy businessman, he was old, had married a brand new young bride, and he was so excited about it, a lovely young lady. But sometimes he wondered whether or not she had just married him for his money. And finally, one day, he got up the gumption and he asked her, if I lost all of my money, would you still love me? And she just real quickly came right back. She retorted, well, of course I would love you. I would miss you, but I still love you. Oh, yeah. High school band was performing out in the middle of the football field. It was a halftime show. The teams were in, resting, getting their directions and encouragement. And the band was out marching around the field, and pretty soon they lined up in formation, and the trumpet player comes running out to the front, and he starts blaring out a beautiful solo supported by the rest of the band. And back in the stands, you could hear some guy yell out, that's my boy! And about that time, the trumpet player starts flubbing up. Squeak, squeak, squeak. Well, maybe not. They all look the same from up here. Devotion. Commitment. Loyalty. Those are things that are kind of hard to find sometimes these days. Especially when things are going tough, getting rough, hard to do. We must guard our faith against allowing anything to come between it and our Savior. We have to stay committed to our Lord no matter what the cost. And Jesus warned us, there is a cost to serving Him. We will find resistance. We'll find people that don't want to listen. We will find people that just hate us for our love of Jesus. But will we hang in there? Will we maintain our devotion to serving Jesus? We find devotion in the examples of several people in our scriptures, and today we will continue looking at the lives of Paul and Barnabas as they continue on their mission trip to spread the gospel to the world of the first century. We find this type of devotion in Paul and Barnabas as they shared in new places, new regions, with people that they'd never met before, and in some cases, places that get downright little contrary and upset about their being there to tell them about Jesus Christ. Join me in a word of prayer as we consider this text. Father in heaven, we give you praise and thanks. You deserve all praise and glory. You are the creator of all things. You are the one who gives us life and sustains us. You have promised us eternal life through Jesus. Jesus has come and given his all for us, and he has conquered the grave in our behalf. We thank you and praise you. We've been singing praises to you. Father, we've talked about the devotion that is required to be your people. Let us be wholly devoted unto you. Father, as we read our scripture text and look at the example of others who've gone before us, let us find direction, instruction, motivation, encouragement to be faithful to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to be loyal unto you, committed to you, devoted to you, because you love us. Help us to love you, to grow in that love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, I'm looking at an entire chapter, Acts chapter 14. We're not going to read all of those verses, so I encourage you to read some of those verses in between time after church. If you get bored of my preaching, you can read those verses as well. But let God speak to your heart. But let's start in Acts chapter 14. Let me start with the first three verses. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and the Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up the minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who was testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. Skip a verse, verse 5. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and to Derbe, and the surrounding region, and there they continued to preach the gospel. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw that what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Let's skip down to verse 18. Even saying these things, with difficulty they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, "Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." When they had appointed elders to them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commanded them to God, to the Lord, in whom they had believed. They passed from through Pisidia and came into Pamphylia. When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had accomplished. And so they finished the first, what we call the first missionary journey of Paul. Looking at these passages, I know I skipped several verses, but some of them are just kind of tell the story of what's going on, but we'll kind of touch on that as we go through this message. The first point that we see about Paul and Barnabas is they sought to inform new crowds. And we had a whole sermon about this, that we need to be open to watching for new people that might be interested in the gospel. Maybe there's some people that you haven't talked to, that you have run into, that you have not shared the gospel, that you haven't taken opportunity or watched for opportunity to share the gospel. We see Paul and Barnabas, they don't just focus on one group of people and plow through no matter what the cost and just keep going and going. They move from one place to the other, seeking new people, new crowds to share the gospel with. They had been sent as missionaries from the church in Antioch of Syria. And it keeps referring to the city of Antioch, but they came from Antioch of Syria. And if you'll back up one slide, if you can, Roxanne, you can faintly see it. There, clear over on your right, is Antioch of Syria, where they left. They had made their way down through the island of Cyprus and preached and taught there, and then had taken a ship back up to Perga, and then Antioch, you'll notice up there in the top center, is Antioch of Galatia, or the region of Pisidia. And that's the town where they had difficulties. And then they went on and made those trips. Thank you for switching there. You can go on back to the other slide. So they were constantly looking for new places to preach the gospel. Town by town, they were going on and seeking new audiences to introduce people who had never heard about Jesus, telling them that the Savior of the world has come. The Savior has come for all people. And so, if you notice there, Paul was from the town of Tarsus, which is further to the east. And so this region that they are now visiting is the region west of where Paul had been when he'd first become a Christian. He had spent some time in his hometown. And I just kind of wonder if Paul had the dream of someday I would like to go on over the mountains and preach to those towns over the hill that I know were out there. Well, here is the opportunity. They are preaching the gospel to new regions that possibly Paul had dreamed about in his earlier days. They are finally reaching out to these areas to inform them a Savior has come for them. We don't know that. I'm just speculating. So don't go out and quote and say, the Bible says. No, that's just David's speculation. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay. That's just my opinion. Anyway, they completed revealing the message of God's love to these people. Just think about this. They completed the message to the Jews. What am I talking about? Well, the Jews had been reading and protecting the books of God's Old Testament for centuries. And throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, what were the scriptures talking about? They were talking about a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. And what is the good news? The Messiah has come. They needed to know that Jesus was the fulfillment of all of those prophecies that they had been reading about, that they had been protecting for centuries. God had fulfilled the message of Genesis through Malachi. The old covenant was complete. the new covenant has come in Jesus Christ. God spoke of a Messiah, and now God has completed his plan of redemption, and most of these Jews were totally unaware that God had finished his plan of redemption. And a lot of people in our world today are still reading their Old Testament, wondering, I wonder who this Savior is. Who's got the word? Who's got the message? We do. We do. And we need to get the message to everybody. Still today, 2,000 years later, almost 2,100 years later. I'll just stay with 2,000. It's an easier number to remember, right? Most of those Jews were totally unaware of the arrival of their Savior, the Messiah. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, no other way to the Father except through Him. He stated it. He fulfilled it. He is the door. He is the resurrection. He is the life. He's the good shepherd and so much more. He's the King of creation. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. All of these different things needed to be preached to these Jews as well as the rest of the world that the Messiah, the Savior, had come. Read your book of John, the Gospel of John. I've got up there especially chapters 10 through 14. Jesus says, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. What is he saying? He is God. He's the Lord. He's the Redeemer. He's the Savior. Amen. Paul and Barnabas confronted false religions. The Roman and Greek mythology permeated the land. And we just barely touched on that. Paul healed a man who had never walked. And what did the mind of the people immediately go to? It went to their mythology. The Roman mythology, the Greek mythology. Oh my goodness, the gods have become human flesh. And they wanted to worship and sacrifice animals to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul jumped up and said, no, no, no. And they ripped their robes and said, we're only people. We're telling you about the real God, Jesus Christ, who gave us this power, who worked through us to heal this man. And they finally got the people to understand that their message was about Jesus. The people of Lystra tried to apply their old belief systems that they had grown up in, that they were saturated with, believing that Paul and Barnabas were their mythological gods. Now, if you had a whole town trying to worship you, what would you do? That would be very tempting to some people, finally getting attention, having people give them honor, credit, all kinds of wealth, all kinds of attention and affection. Paul and Barnabas said, no, don't give it to us, give it to Jesus. Give it to God. Paul and Barnabas focused on the teachings of Jesus. Our Lord directed the apostles and all of his followers to always be a witness in the world for Jesus. Do not deny him. Do not deny him. And Paul and Barnabas worked hard to convince those people Jesus is the reason for this man being healed. It wasn't us. It was the power of God working through us. They avoided Satan's temptation to take the credit to themselves. The deceiver works in every single one of us. Satan tried to tempt Jesus with power. Go back and read those temptations. Satan said, if you worship me, if you fall down and worship me, I will give you authority over all of these kingdoms of the earth. Some of you are saying, I thought Jesus had authority all over all the earth already. Do you see any pure righteousness in every kingdom today? No. There's a lot of evil out there. Why? Because Satan, for right now, is the ruler of evil on the earth. Jesus is coming. Jesus has the authority. And in his time and in God's time, it will all stop. But he is allowed to be the ruler in this world for now. Satan offered that authority to Jesus. And Jesus rejected it because who are we to worship? Worship God. Paul and Barnabas were offered authority and power over that city when they healed that man and they said no. Jesus and God are the one to be worshipped. We will be tested, given authority, power, reign, control over things in this world. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to devote it to God, or are we going to take some glory for ourselves? Take some credit for ourselves. Oh, you did a fantastic job there. Thank you. I worked hard at it. I've devoted my whole life. I've studied. I went to college for that, you know. Well, you're such a great guy. Thank you. Thank you. I know I am. All right. Where did all that come from? Where did your talent come from? It came from God. Your abilities came from God. We need to be careful about accepting credit. God gave me this ability. God gave me my life. God gave me the talent. God is worthy of praise. Is man? Where do you find in Scripture man is worthy of praise? It's not there, is it? Who? How many times have we dishonored our Father by taking credit for something? Paul and Barnabas recognized the problem immediately. 1 John, the Apostle John warns us, watch out for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. God deserves the credit, not you. If you're working hard, that's all right. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're created to do. But give God the credit. The Lord's commands still apply to us who believe in Him. We need to make sure the people around us know the full story of Jesus. The full story. Not the little snippets and the Santa Claus aspect. God gives gifts. I just love God, especially at Christmas time, because I pray for a new car, a new stove, or a new whatever, and God gave it to me. Is that the kind of God your neighbors know about? Or do they know about the Savior who was born in the cradle to go to the grave, who suffered horrendous torture to pay for their sin? We need to confront false religions with biblical truth. There's a bunch of false religions, a lot of twisted Christianity out there. And we still need to guard against Satan's temptations, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Watch for the opportunities to witness to different people, new crowds, new audiences. Moving on to the second point, we see that Paul and Barnabas remained committed to their mission. They stayed committed. Here a couple of weeks ago, Sally and I got on our phones a couple of pictures. You know, our kids live up in Colorado, and they're getting that white stuff up there. And they took a day to go up on the mountainside to play with the little one in the snow, the deep, deep snow, and have a great time and a great day. That reminded me of my younger days, whenever we got snow in where I lived up in southwest Idaho, which wasn't all the time, but we were down in the valley. But whenever we got a snow, guess where I was at? I was out playing in the snow if I possibly could. Our neighbors had a really steep hill, and I had an old inner tube that I would pump up and run out there and just play going down that hill dime after time. You jump on the tube, and once you hit the tube, you were pew, down the hill you go, speeding like a bullet. I won't tell you about the hazards at the bottom. Anyway, that's what made it exciting. But the fun was, once you got started, you couldn't quit. You just kept sliding all the way to the bottom. And it was fun. But now that I'm getting a little stiffer in my old age and a little bit more comfortable with not being out in the cold, I don't think I would enjoy it quite as much as I did when I was little. In my youth, it was hard to get me to stop. Today, I'm not too committed to playing in the snow. The apostles were committed to fulfilling their mission. And they did not stop until they were dead. Jesus was committed to become the sacrifice for our sin. The only way people can be united to our perfectly heavenly Father is to have their rebellious sins paid for. Can they do that? No. Only one person has been able to do that. The God-man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus has paid it all. And we owe everything to Him. Jesus is, always was, and always will be the final sacrifice for sin. And we need to get that message out to the people around us. He was committed. He fulfilled His commitment. God requires that we be committed to faithfulness. Let's be faithful. We are helped by the Holy Spirit to live lives that are obedient to the commands of Jesus. Our gathering together is to encourage each other to be faithful to the Lord. You have this thing, your book called the what? The Bible, that teaches us to be faithful. Will we be faithful? Does your Bible make you faithful? Do I make you be faithful? Where does faithfulness come from? From your commitment, personal commitment. And you got to restore that commitment regularly. Jesus calls for us to remember Him regularly. That's what we gather for, is to remember, to restore, to reinforce our commitment to faithfulness to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas moved from town to town, going and seeking out new people, either as they finished their work or as they were, I'll use the term, persuaded to leave, chased out of town. They got chased out of a lot of places. So if you get chased away from somebody, don't feel bad. You're not the first. That's okay. Go on to fields that are white unto harvest. People who are waiting to hear. But we see the apostles, and we see this team of an apostle and a very strong Christian, Paul and Barnabas, they were committed to spread the good news of Jesus to as many people as they could possibly reach. They were on a mission. This first recorded mission trip. And they wanted to get the word out to as many people as possible. There were still new towns that had not heard yet. There were still synagogues where Jews were waiting and dreaming about the someday a Messiah is coming. They needed to know. No, he's not going to come. He has already come. When he comes back the next time, you got to be ready. These men were willing to endure horrible abuse for Jesus. They remembered what torture Jesus had gone through to save them. And we need to remember what torture Jesus went through to save us. Will that motivate us to endure whatever persecution comes our way? Or will we stop short and say, no, I don't want to pay that price? Remember the price Jesus paid for us. He was suffered torture and death so that we may live, so that we may have eternal life. Remember what he's done for you. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 ends with the statement, Jesus speaking, be faithful even unto death. And God will give you what? The crown of life. Everlasting life. And the Apostle Paul and Barnabas understood this. Paul was willing to suffer to be stoned. Would we be willing to be stoned for Jesus? Some of you are saying, yeah, I think so. Some of you are saying, what? I don't know. How many of you like to get hit by a rock? How many of you have been hit by a rock? I had my brother just throw a small one and hit me. That's not very pleasant. But to be stoned to death, that's what the Apostle Paul was willing to do. That's what Barnabas was willing to do. For some reason, they didn't pick him. That's kind of interesting because Paul had just, by the power of God, healed this man. And within a week, all the people are convinced to do what to Paul? Stone him. After all the good that he had done. People are fickle. How committed are we to Jesus? Are we fickle? Or are we committed? Jesus warned that we will suffer persecution if we love him. I don't know about you, but I really haven't been persecuted very much compared to what a lot of people we read about. Brothers and sisters of faith around this world today, losing their homes. You know, Paul and Barnabas had to pick up and run on several occasions. Had to leave everything behind except for what they could carry. Are you ready to pick up and run right now? Or would you stay behind and say, no, I don't want to give all this up. I like what I have. I want to keep it. Fooey on what you want me to do. Think about it. A lot of our brothers and sisters of faith today around the world have to pick up and run to save their life. I was thinking about this earlier. Jesus came to die in fulfillment of all Scripture. There were several occasions where people tried to kill Jesus ahead of time. They tried to throw him off a cliff. What did he do? He was able to walk through that crowd and leave. In the temple, it mentions two or three times, they picked up stones to stone him. Did they accomplish their task? No, because it wasn't God's time. God protected him somehow. Scripture indicates that he disappeared. He walked through a crowd that was angry at him. Now we have Paul, who was actually stoned to death. That's what a stoning is for, to kill somebody. And what happened with Paul? He got back up and walked right back into town. Let's go on to our third point. Paul and Barnabas were bold witnesses for the Savior because the Savior conquered death for them. Jesus conquered death for them. What has Jesus done for you? He conquered death for you. Will we be a bold witness for Jesus? Paul and Barnabas not only visited new places, they faced total strangers with the news that Jesus saves. God empowered them to perform miracles during this process, healing the person who had never walked. And we're not told what other miracles took place, but it's plural. There were many signs and miracles that took place during their ministry by God's power. Not by their power, but God's power in God's time. You need to understand that. True Christians are those who tell others of their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not want a bunch of secret agents. Jesus wants bold witnesses, believers who are willing to testify about Him. Are we trying to be a secret agent Christian? Or are we following the motivation of the Holy Spirit to speak up when He speaks to our heart and He says, say something. Tell them about Jesus. Talk to them. Find out what their needs are. Where are you at in that? Do you listen to the Spirit, or have you just turned Him off and squelched the opportunity? You're familiar with the passage, but Jesus told us some very powerful words in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 through 33. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered to your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all what? Numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Are we willing to speak up? Do we trust in the power of God? Do we trust that He who takes care of all the birds of the air is also taking care of us? Is He keeping track of how many hairs are on your head for nothing? He knows about you. He loves you so much that He died for you. And He conquered the grave for you so that you can be a testimony of His power to the people around you. Believers maintain their faith in God's protection of His kids. You're His kid. He loves you. You're His child. He's adopted you through the blood of Christ. You are the children of God. Walk boldly, courageously. He's got a home for you. It's out of this world. It's magnificent. Better than anything we have in this world. Receive it. Allow God to take care of you instead of trying to do it by your own wits. Trust God will be with you, just as he promised. Jesus has how much power? All power. How much authority? All authority. He has angels doing his bidding, and his angels are taking care of us, the scripture says, if we are walking in his path. And sometimes when we're not walking, God is doing his best on his part. Will we do our part in serving him? God restored life to that battered body of the Apostle Paul, who was stoned. Stoning, again, was generally a death sentence almost 99.99999% of the time, unless God's hand is in the mix. And God's hand was in the mix. After all that trauma of rocks, cuts, bruises, the text suggests that God resurrected, restored the life of Paul so that he could get up and he walked back into that town that had just stoned him. Why didn't they stone him a second time? Do you think they were a little bit amazed? A little bit surprised? Wow. He not only can heal people who can't walk, God raised him from death. Paul talks about the many trials in other passages of Scripture that he endured. And he talks about even seeing the third heaven, about seeing God. Was this one of those times? We don't know. Possibly. Yep, nobody attacked him when he came walking into town. They probably thought, we better leave this guy alone. Does that mean Paul was not hurting? Oh, no. No, I'm sure he was hurting terribly. Cuts, bruises, they hurt. Takes time to heal unless God intervenes. But that was not the focus. The focus was they needed to tell people about who? Jesus. There are still people who have not heard the message of Jesus. And so Paul and Barnabas stayed the night and left the next day. You guys don't want to listen to us? We'll go look for somebody else who will listen to the message. And then notice at the end of the passage there, Paul and Barnabas continued to support the new believers. They backtracked through all those little towns and communities that they had been to, even the ones that had chased them out, and made sure that the church was doing well. And they established leadership in those churches, appointing elders in each of those congregations. And they didn't stop there. We have some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. But we are told in Scripture that Paul and others made more trips to these churches to make sure that they were strong, staying with Jesus, growing in Christ. Paul wrote letters, other New Testament documents. Others were writing. And we are told that the New Testament was copied and delivered and passed on to all the different believers, resulting in our New Testament, so that the believer can grow and mature in who? Jesus Christ. They not only had leaders, writings, visits, but they had the power of God, the Holy Spirit living in them. Do you have these things? We don't have the visit of Paul or Barnabas or those First Testament early writers, but we do have the Scriptures. We do have the Holy Spirit. We do have the fellowship of the saints. Is God with us? He is. Let's be faithful. Verse 7 is the key thought to this passage regarding Paul and Barnabas. They continued to preach. They continued to preach. They continued to be faithful. They continued to spread the gospel, no matter what the cost. They were committed to serve the Lord Jesus even to their death, if necessary, and eventually it did take the life of Paul. We don't know what happened to Barnabas, but we read of the ancient history, the beginnings of the church, so many of those first believers were killed for their faith. But they stayed faithful. And they are not just dying for nothing. They are dying for the Lord Jesus who conquered the grave, who has promised to give us what? Eternal life. In a new home that is perfect, where righteousness dwells. They remembered where their real home was. The real home was heaven. The old gospel song, one of them that I love, is, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." Right? Are you just passing through, or are you trying to hang on to this world? We're just passing through. And we've got a new home where righteousness dwells. Let's learn from the example of these men and others. Watch for opportunities to share Jesus with new crowds, new opportunities with new people. Stay committed to serving Jesus and be bold in telling others about what Jesus has done for them as well as for you. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the scriptures that tell us about your early servants, the dedication they had to be a witness for Jesus. Help us to be committed, devoted, serving you continually, watching for opportunities to share Jesus Christ with others, no matter what the cost. Help us to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves, as we share your love, grace, and mercies, but also reveal that you are coming again as judge. And if we are not walking with you, we only have hell to look forward to, and it's not pleasant. Father, help us to share the message of life with Jesus, walking in righteousness. Give us boldness, courage, steadfastness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.